So, very much on time. Welcome to the afternoon session of Tech Days, the first one of three afternoon sessions of Tech Days 2012 in Lausanne. Thank you for choosing the Windows Phone session. I'm trying not to let you down, so you will see live devices. You will see the real phone operating system with demos. You will see code. You will see me crash and burn. You will see lots of problems because the code's not working, exactly what you expect. So I hope this is in your sense. The goal is to show you what's new in Windows Phone 8 for developers and give you a short overview of the phone itself, of the features, but I think you'll probably have a chance to play with a phone quickly yourself too, and then you'll be quickly get accustomed to the new features. So, Windows Phone 8, what's new? Let's first have a look at the OS. There is, as you know, some phones have a USB port that can transmit the VGA signal. My phone doesn't do it. First, they didn't want to give me one. And second, if you're in VGA mode, you can't debug code on it because you need the USB ports to connect it to your computer for code debugging. So I really preferred the phone. I couldn't get one anyway. So I'm sorry for the camera picture. I hope it's visible. It's of course much crispier in the real world, but doing the best I can by camera. So this is the new look of Windows Phone 8. What you see first is the new tile sizes. So every tile can have various sizes now. It can be the normal size. It can be small. Or if you have a problem with your ego like me, it can be really big. And your apps can have that too. So it's open to everybody. Lots of the features that only you knew Nokia could do it, we could do it, but you as a developer could never create a large tile. There is only one SDK now. The public SDK is the same that you get, it's the same that Nokia gets, it's the same that vendors like Swisscom or so get. So you have the same chances now. No limitations anymore that we had before. You see that apart from that, the home screen looks quite familiar. The Office app is much newer now, works very well with SkyDrive, SkyDrive Pro, Office 365. You have your Office synced, cloud synced documents on your phone, and you have a very, very good implementation of OneNote now on the phone that automatically syncs and opens your notebooks that you have in the cloud or locally too, of course, but in the cloud makes much sense. And another thing that I like a lot is in the contacts now, you used to have groups, so you could put groups of people into one list. And the cool thing is you can pin this list to the start, and you see social media updates here of the entire group in one glance. People that are important to you, family, team, office, friends. And you can call them, spam, mass SMS them, really cool. And what we have now new is a room. And the room is something like a group, but it's more interactive. So a room has notes. So this is a cloud-shared OneNote document that everybody in this group has and sees. So everybody edits in real time, gives me work to do here in real time. Everybody in the group can participate. You, of course, have the same features. You can see who's in the group, what photos do they have on Flickr and Facebook and stuff. And you have like an this is SMS or WhatsApp style instant messaging with GPS. Sorry, that white thing up there should be a map with location data. So you can, the whole group has a chat with history. So even if you were offline for a day or two, you'll see what the group has been talking about. So if you see me and my boss have been already hardcore using this. well, we're still in the beginning. We're the only two who have a phone currently, a Phone 8 device right now. So that's some things, some of the new things. Here he is. He can just add some text to the room. I just showed our messages in our room. It was hardcore. So some more things is we now have the wallet. You see I already installed all the software. So one thing you'll see right away, Windows Phone 7.5 software runs right away on Windows Phone 8. no reason for you to recompile. Should your software have a compatibility problem, you will be personally emailed by the marketplace team and say, we tested your software, it has a problem running Windows Phone 8, but I guess you, I didn't get anything. Hope you didn't get anything either. And I saw all of my apps that I use work really well. And the wallet now, here is a, this stores financial information. So here is my Windows Live and Xbox payment methods. So these are the payment methods I have added. And also on my MasterCard, you see the note says this can be used to, it's taken from your account and card capabilities are now, this one is to be used to purchase apps from the store. But you can add other payment methods. Starbucks can add their membership card here. Whatever your library could add a card, you as a developer can create a membership card that you can add programmatically here, that all the users of your app have a membership card and can benefit of deals. And there can be apps linked to the wallet. So here is a PayPal app that links my wallet to my PayPal account, and if I enter my password here, I'm not doing it, I'm sorry about that, but because you always see the first character, but you see your transactions in PayPal, what was the last booking, so the wallet elements can have apps that are used to expand on the wallet item. Here, for example, there will be shortly a Contoso cookbook hands-on lab available where this is being implemented. You see the membership card of your cooking app that has other capabilities. For example, it can be used for in-app purchases. And the in-app purchases, you have a balance here of 80 available balance. So this is an in-app purchase of 80 minutes of cooking time. These are expendables, like in a game you could buy gold, or you could buy magazine issues of a digital magazine, and these are 80 minutes of cooking time. It's a bit absurd to buy cooking time for a cooking app, but that's the Contoso sample. They always do that, so you have to get used to that. And then you have deals. These are like coupons. So you get a slip of paper that says the next coffee you buy at Starbucks, I'm sorry, any coffee company shop, is 15% off. And then you show the coupon and say, here is my 15%, I want that now. They take it, they smile, or they don't smile, depends. And then they give you the coffee, hopefully, for 15% less. These are these coupons. They can be machine readable through a barcode here. They can also be, there should be a small barcode down here that my camera has a bit of problem reading. They can also be application readable, so your app can read a coupon and basically take the value that it has into your app. Like these are, I think, also 20 cooking minutes for Contoso cookbook, and then you can invalidate the coupon and say it's been used. Even the user can do that, mark as used or mark as unused. Exactly. You as an app mark it as used, and then he goes back and marks it as unused. So you have to have to memorize the number some way and check it on the server. Is it too blurry? Is it okay? Camera is really fighting with the lighting conditions. I hope it's kind of visible. Another thing that is really new, basically, these devices are now NFC enabled, although having an NFC chip is optional. But the Nokia I'm using here has one. So I can go everywhere. For example, I can open a web page here, the agenda for today. And now I can say share page. And I can say tap and send. And now if somebody has another device with NFC capability, we just put them together. It works fine with Android devices today that have NFC built in. It works fine with Windows 8 tablets. I just used it today at the conference to share a link with somebody. And then basically, NFC is used to transmit small amounts of information. I'm going to show some more details in the developer part how this can be done inside your applications. You can use NFC to enhance your applications. Another one that I don't have kids, but I heard that people who have a child basically all get asked a lot, can I have the phone to play? And then you give your phone to the child, and it's first it plays a game, then it starts deleting your business emails, before that it sends some nasty comments to your boss, and then you have to explain that. And now, this is the lock screen. basically now you see Bing has the lock screen. So you can now, as a developer, be part of the lock screen. You can take over the notification icons in the bottom or the picture. And the phone should be locked, but it's set to not instantly lock. But my kid cannot get in here because normally it's pin protected. So it has to swipe to the right. That's my kid's called John Doe because it's not existing. And then the kid swipes up. And now it sees its own home screen. Personalization, it can choose its own colors and everything. And these apps it sees, so it sees a couple of music albums, games, apps. These are the ones I have configured to be available to my kid. I can easily do that, and I can only get out of here by turning the phone back off, back on, and logging in with my account again. And I can either, on an app, I can tap and hold and say, hey, add this to the kids corner up here. Says add to kids corner, so the kid can use Twitter. Oh no, that was rate and review. Sorry, I mistyped. Or of course you have a settings app that allows you to buy album, buy video, music album, video, buy app, configure the kids corner, what the kid should be able to see in its part of the phone. Another thing that we finally brought to Switzerland, I hoped so much for this, beside your own music, your synchronized albums, basically this is my music library, which is it's in the cloud actually, it's not on my phone, but I can still play it through the cloud. It knows what music I have at home, so it shows me it here. You can also now go into the Xbox Music Store, and for I think 10 or 12 francs a month, you can listen to 30 million songs. You can listen to them streaming, you can download them DRM'd, or you can buy them explicitly for a couple of I think 1 franc per song, DRM free. But a cool thing is you can, for example, search for an artist. So, and then you can tell Xbox Music to either play that artist. Of course, now nothing works. Sorry about that. You can tell Xbox Music to either play that exact album or song, or you have a so-called smart DJ, which you tell him what kind of music or group you like, and it then creates a dynamic list of songs based on similar albums and groups to the one you selected. There's a network problem around here. And then you can have like an interactive radio station of playing music you like the style, but maybe you don't even know yet. That's the interactive DJ. So you have access to the Xbox Music Service. I think these are a couple of the features that are really, really new in Windows Phone 8. Very short overview of these. There's a lot of small enhancements you will find, but I think these make up for some of the biggest wow moments that you have. Of course, there is, for example, a screen zoom. So now I can zoom on the screen. There is a great, great voice commands. There's now a capability to do screenshots. So you hold the power and the Windows button and you do a screenshot. And it's just put in your pictures folder. Finally, we could do that. For developers, this is great. For normal users too, but especially for developers, this is a very great feature. So, enough blurry cam. Back to the better, sharper picture. So, now, in Windows Phone 8, we have a shared Windows core. So, Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 share the same concept and same core. So they have a huge overlap. It's not the same. So we draw a line still between Windows RT, Windows 8, which is one operating system that runs one application. You compile once for Windows 8, Windows RT. You upload it to the Windows Store. But you have to write a different application for Windows Phone 8 and upload it to a different store, the Windows Phone Store. But the overlap in code is huge. The XAML for the GUI is a bit different. The controls look different. They are a bit different. But the logic is mostly the same. Actually, if you look at it in numbers, Actually, people may ask, but wasn't Phone based on .NET Compact framework? And it's true. Windows Phone up to 7.5 was based on .NET Compact framework, and now it really has the same engine that powers the Silverlight apps, so we call that Core CLR. It used to be called WinPRT, Windows Pocket or Phone Runtime, but that name kind of like got away, so I've put it here very, very vaguely for you still to almost see it, but I haven't heard it internally, so I think it died. But it's part, so 2,800 members of the Phone and of the full Windows 8 WinRT are exactly the same. Of course, WinRT has some more members. It's a superset. And the Phone has 600 new members, which are explicit Phone, like the voice commands or the integration with the People Hub. That is done a bit different on the Phone. Now, these are the differences. But basically, logic of your app can be transferred between the Phone and the desktop OS. In the platform itself, we now support up to 64 cores. So no more single core, which we for a long time we said it's enough for a Phone. And it was for a long time, but it's not anymore. So also the Phones can now have multiple cores. We have three screen resolutions. WVGA, which is the one that you always had with Windows Phone, 800 by 480 pixels. Then we have WXGA, which is 1280 by 768. And what you see here, it's the same proportions, 15 to 9. So XAML is vector-based. If you add JPEGs and PNGs, of course, add a good resolution, so it doesn't get pixelated in a larger resolution. But basically, your well-designed XAML app scales properly between these two. There is a third one, 720p, and it's 1280 by 720, which is a proportion of 16 to 9. So you get a little more extra screen space. You'll see it here in the bottom. And a normal XAML app that doesn't, like that controls that stretch in the height, will use the full screen. Pixel perfect applications like games will run fine, but will have a little black, a couple of pixels black. Actually, you can calculate it's 48 pixels, which are then unused on this device. It's not bad, it doesn't hurt. It's hardly even visible if you don't know it. But your normal XAML app that stretches, for example, the whole height of the screen will just be bigger on this screen and look perfect. So you can, in the project, say, I explicitly run on these two, but I don't run on this. And people that go to the store with this phone will not see your app. But they will be a bit puzzled because their girlfriend who has this phone sees your app. She has a different resolution. You could block it, or you could deliver a special version of your app for the different resolution if you want. Or you can tell in Visual Studio, basically my app, this code is good for all resolutions. The normal line of business application normally should cover all resolutions. So here in your phone project, in the app manifest, we now also have a VisiVig editor for the app manifest, which I think is a very good thing if you don't have to hand code this for like the phone capabilities. You remember hand coding these? Now you just say, I always did it wrong. I forgot them or named them wrong or hell. So now, sorry. Here you say, my phone supports D3 resolution. You could remove one if you don't want it, or you can say, yeah, I'm a line of business. I scale. It doesn't matter. My pictures are large, so they scale nicely on the larger resolutions. So you basically compile for all versions. But you can pick, if you don't like, you can say, no, I don't want to run on the 720p. And then the people using that phone will not see the app in the store. So. And we now support micro SD cards. You can, or let's say removable. They were there for a long time, but they were not removable in the beginning because the phone would create one big file partition across your internal memory and your storage card, and you could remove the storage card, but then the file system was totally gone. You would have to reset the phone to, it was not good. But now, the storage card is a real external card. You can use it to store your music, your videos, your photos, your pictures. You can even remove it, use it to transfer it to a computer using the small drive in the PC, or you can install apps from the micro SD card. So in markets where In Rome, internet is very expensive through the phone hardware, 3G internet. Phone companies can, for example, give out a phone with a card with a couple of apps. And then people plug the card in and can install the apps from that card instead of downloading megabytes over the internet, which costs them a fortune. That's a great way to distribute apps if you have a reason to do so. The phone will still look into the market, see your app, let the user, if it's a paid app, let the user pay. But then instead of getting the app from the internet, it takes the binary from the microSD card. So that's a kind of a niche, but I think it's quite interesting. We now have an Internet Explorer 10 implementation on the phone that is in par with the desktop. It has mostly to way over 95% the same feature set as the desktop browser. It has double HTML5 support than the previous Windows Phone 7.5 browser, and it can be used as an app model. So, do not get confused. I'm telling you something which is half wrong and half right. So don't believe it right now when I tell you. So you now, in the Visual Studio, you can say, I want to create... PowerPoint really doesn't want to go away. You can say, I want to create a new project. And then it says, yeah, I want to create a new phone project. And then you can say, an HTML5 app. And you think, wow, it's like Windows 8. I can write a full application in HTML5, full-featured. It's not quite that. What you get is a XAML application, C# XAML application, that has a browser control which takes the full view. You even get the forward and back navigation buttons. But now, you can bundle a lot of HTML. Actually, it's not that bad if you think about it twice. It looks weird at first, but you can add a lot of HTML content that you already have from another phone platform, for example, into this project locally, into the project file, and show it in the browser control. But we don't have the phone gap, which allows you from HTML to talk to the phone's camera. That we don't have. You have the sandboxed features that you have in the browser when you surf to Bing or you surf to CNN or Google, that feature set. If you need the camera of the phone from your app, you will need to have to write a bit of C# and then call C# from JavaScript and from C# back into JavaScript. That works. That works okay. They can talk. So this browser can talk to your app and the app can talk to the browser window inside your app, but you need that bridge for functions that are very close to the system. So kind of we almost allow you to write apps in HTML5. Our team in Redmond says it's the best thing, but it's not the same as in Windows 8, where every single function that you have in XAML C# is also available in JavaScript HTML. It's not the same thing. Okay. Native code. We have changed the model for gaming to be native code, C++ based on DirectX. We still support, but I told you that all Phone 7.5 apps run on Phone 8, so we still support the old XNA-based model, but it's deprecated. It's just there for compatibility, so the old games work. The new games will be C++. Reason: XNA is a cool tool for hobbyists to create powerful, mostly powerful games. Pro developers of games do not want this hobby engine. Pro developers that live off making games, what they want is lots of shared code. So we provide them with an engine that now already has five or four of the very popular game development engines ported to. So the Havok, the FMod, Audio Kinetic, and Autodesk app game design engines. These are the 3D engines that you use to create game worlds and games, have already been ported to Windows Phone development. And for pro game developers, that means they don't have to create an explicit version of their game, which is almost the same for iPhone and Android because it's C++. Now for Windows Phone in XNA, we now offer that too. So that is mostly for the real pros. But if you're a C++ developer and you don't want to do a game but something else, C++ is open to you now. You can use full features of the phone from C++, but mostly that's relevant to game developers. App communication. Isolation in mobile apps is a great thing. Each app has its own isolated store, knows nothing of the other apps, but on the phone it led to a bit of like autism. Each app was so closed and sandboxed, it wouldn't even know that other apps exist. So one thing we could never do is you click on a link in a browser and it opens your app with a parameter or showing something. Or you could not download a file and then click the file and open your app to show the file, like the PDF. PDF could do that, but it was a huge exception on the phone. Now, we allow that through custom protocols, protocol handler, and custom file extensions. So basically, the custom protocol is like Skype. Skype :// and then a command. And this will, if clicked in the mobile browser, will open the Skype app, of course, because Skype knows. I'm registered for that Skype handler. Or you could have your own, my own, or a super app or something. And then when you user clicks on a super app handler, it will open your own app. How this is done in detail is you either in an email or in the web browser or in an app that is started, this URI is called by hitting a link or launching it. And then the execution manager of the phone, not your app right away, queries the packet manager, is there an app installed that said it could handle Skype? And then, if not, users get directed to the marketplace where they can find an app like the Skype client that handles this kind of URL. If one is installed, it will be launched right away. And if multiple are installed, then the user gets a dialogue asking, okay, you have three apps that can open Skype. Which one would you like to use? There's no defaults. So if you have multiple installed, you will always get the choice. You will not can say, I automatically always, if you have three PDF readers installed, you will always get this choice. Then you can uninstall two, and then it's automatic again. Through custom files, file extensions, that means I have a file in my isolated storage, and I want to pass it to another app. Now, this is a cross-isolation. So we use a data sharing service where your app sends, first it creates, your app creates a brokering token and says, I want to send a file. And then it says the file has the extension .doc or .skype or .anything. And I received a token from the data sharing service. Token is like a slip from the dry cleaner. You give your file to the data sharing server, and the data sharing service gives you a slip. I have your file, here is its number. So you say to the execution manager, I want to launch a Skype file. It's been held by the data sharing service at this address. And then the execution manager checks, hey, do I have an app that opens .skype or .myfile or .doc or .pdf? And if you have one, the app, if you have multiple, you get the dialogue. If you have none, you should get to the store again. And if you have one or chose one, your app gets launched and the token gets handed to your app. So your app now receives a slip with a number on it, and you go to the data sharing service and say, give me that file behind that number because somebody wants to share that with me. The app never knows who actually sent the file. It's all isolated. But the data sharing service gives out your file and your app then starts the file. So if we look at this in a small demo, I have prepared not my HTML5 project, but a small extension. I used to have this Flickr web browser service, and let's try in the emulator. So just have a quick look at how it looks. So this is the emulator that now is a full virtual machine. Actually, as you saw, it's also now a full version of the OS. It's not just the Internet Explorer icon and nothing else. You can do basically anything you can do on the real phone also with the emulator. It's much better. What you get too is you get an emulator simulation dashboard, and through that you can, for example, slow down the network on purpose, or you can set the lock screen. So if you want to test the lock screen, for example, you take over the lock screen for your own image, you can lock the phone, the emulator, now by clicking unlocked. So it should get unlocked again. It doesn't do that, but you can relock your phone. Really, really nice for testing. So it's much easier to interact with your phone now through the simulation dashboard. And now the app, not this one, sorry about that. Your app, the one that you're debugging. So here's my test project. What I did is I query, it's the old one, I query Flickr for an image. I get nice images back, and I can look at one image in detail. And now, in here, I've added this file and protocol handling. And how I did that is it all starts with the app manifest. So when I look into code, here in the manifest, so the manifest, as you know, it has its nice VisiVig editor, but it also has a code view. And the code view now, this one, the VisiVig editor is not so smart enough to allow you to do file and protocol handling. So down here, you extend your extension, not the lock screen background, that comes later, but here I want to handle the .flickr file name, and I want to listen to the Flickr protocol, so Flickr --/. So now, on my phone, I open the web browser. I have to, of course, kind of have a way to test that. And this is a bit tricky. So I installed a web page on a server of mine. Test flickr.html. So this goes out to the internet. Sorry about that. It's not test, it's temp. Remember the URL. So now I click on a Flickr URL in my browser. And now, as only this app is installed that handles the extension, it gets passed right to my app. The same, it's very similar for the file extension. If I open a file of type Flickr, you will quickly see that the browser is now opening, tap to open, and does the same. It shows my app, downloads that file from the web, opens my app, and passes that file to my app. And how that is done in the app, it's in app XAML. It's very, very well documented. So in app XAML, you basically have to say, I want to have a custom handler for this. Here, the file. Oh, come on. Where are you? Where are you hiding out on me? Don't hide. Not nice for you of you to do. So the URI mapper, you have to create a special class which is called URI mapper, or inherits from URI mapper, sorry. So here we look at my URI mapper. So here we inherit from URI mapper base, and we implement a function which is called map URI. That is that you have to do. And once you did that, you basically get called once such a transaction happens. And then you find out, has it been a file type association or a protocol association? You pick up the file token, or you check if the file token exists or the protocol is right. And then you call, bless you, you call into the mapped URI or file mapped URI. And here basically you get that file and you open a special page. And what I did is I go to my target page, which is the details page, I think, exactly. And then I pass it the parameter of that URI that contains the Flickr image or the file itself. And my page now needs to the details page, of course, now needs to handle that. And when it gets called or navigated to, I have to find out, was there in the query string a handle file or handle URI a key? And then if I have a handle file, for example, here is where I talk to the shared storage access manager and tell him, here is my token that was passed. Could I have that file, please? Then I open it with a data reader, and I basically, what I then do, the file itself is an XML, which contains a URL to a Flickr image. So that's it's not a real image that I pass. It's a URL to an image on Flickr itself. So that's why I need the XML X document here to then read that URL and show it in my app. And of course, if I pass the protocol, it's much simpler. By just passing the protocol, that's down here, it's basically get the protocol, read the URL from the parameters, and download that image from Flickr, and that's all that needs to be done. So the code is rather simple of the app, but I think it's very effective if you can just simply click on a file or on a URL, see the URL actually contains the ID of the real file on Flickr. So it's not the brightest sample, but it works nice to use this app to show Flickr image. Instead of course, you can have your like PDFs or Word docs. Some files, however, are reserved. If you want to override our documents, docx for Word, you'll have a problem because we say that's our file type and nobody should handle that except from us. But there's only very, very few that we have reserved. So, speech platform. It was always possible to use your voice to command the phone, so call this number, send SMS. But now we open that. I'm not saying Siri. It's our great way of using voice. And you now have a capability as a developer to add voice commands to your apps, either in two different ways. One is you start your app using voice. So your app is not running, and you use the voice interface of the phone to start your app in a special page or even with parameters. Or when your app is already running, you can, instead of using the keyboard, you can use voice detection. That's then really speech to text and text to speech to have a conversation with your app. So first, let's have a quick look at how that could look. So now I have to use my real phone again. Now, the demo is going to be going. Let's hope that works. So I have to turn on this one and hope I'm not having too much of a audio feedback here. So now I hold the home button. What can I say?
Here is a list of things you can say. Please flick left to go to the next example, apps. Some apps support voice commands. You can explore them in the list below.
So, besides...
More things you can do.
So, besides... Hey, shut up! ...to call another person or prep apps. It's a problem if you get into this conflict with your phone during this presentation. So, besides the standard voice commands, here... Are your app? You need a way to find out about this. So what can I say is really valuable. You see all the apps that are installed that support voice, and then your app can show in detail what voice commands are supported. We don't want the Contoso cookbook. We want my own app. Why is my own app not listed? I have to, let me see, let me quickly start it and see if it registers. I just recompiled it, which was a bad thing. So I have to start it once. Now it's running. Now, what can I say?
Here is a list of things you can say.
Apps. So now here is my own app. It needed to be started after compilation for once. So it's registering. By starting, it registers itself. And now I can search pictures about Microsoft. But we want to search pictures about Tech Days. So let's try this. So I start my app by Flickr browser, search pictures about Tech Days.
Showing pictures on Tech Days.
Sorry, I didn't. It was loud enough. So she understood and she said showing pictures on Tech Days. Now she launches my app and now she shows pictures on Tech Days. People watching here, presentations. Wow, really. You very attentive. going, wow, that phone is so gorgeous. Okay, that's it. So I can also just start the page. Just say Flickr browser search. And then it just gets me to the search page. Flickr browser search.
Showing search page.
She's so loud, I think you can hear her in the back. So now it just starts the app. And now this is in-app voice. Now here, instead of typing, I added a small microphone down here. So this blur should be a microphone. This blur should be a magnifying glass. And if I tap this blur, instead of typing a search term, I can speak one. Flower.
Heard you say flower.
She heard
me. Not too sure what you just said. Please try again.
So here, in the demo before, I created a word list. It contained about 10 words. So that's why it would always understand tech days. But now this one I programmed to be absolutely open. So that's also why she goes into the internet, searches, that's the beep, 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 and then she comes back. And I told her, if you're not halfway sure what the guy said, tell him and say that you need it again, but the flower was good. Let's try again, once more. Flower.
You say flower.
And now she was confident enough that flower was really what I was looking for, and now she shows me pictures of flowers. So this is voice search inside your app and voice commands, and looking at Visual Studio very quickly, what you need to do is, again, in the application manifest, in the app.xaml, here we go. Trying to open AppSAML. So here, when I start the app, I have to register initialize voice commands and initialize speech recognition. I have both. They're optional, of course. And then here, all I do is basically I say, hey, I need the service. Here is a list of the commands that should the app that the OS should understand to launch the app. And then in app, I just initialize a speech recognizer with user interface. And this command file, the XML, so this is the command file that is used to launch the app. And here are all the sample terms, and it's quite, so the search, the start just goes to searchpage.xaml, and I listen for start. And the search pictures goes to mainpage.xaml, and I listen for search. 4 is optional, pictures about or on, both optional, and then a search term. Instead of searching for star for everything, I search for a search term. And now down here, I narrowed, this is optional, of course, you can listen to everything, but then, you know, confidentiality, or no, she's not always sure if you what you said. So these are the search terms I'm listening to when you start the app. So that's, and then of course you have to handle that once you launch your app on your search page. You have to basically then receive the terms. It's passed to you as a parameter, and then you just show the image. So this is, it's quite easy and nice to do. And I think the effect is really cool. If you can launch, people can launch your app even with a parameter search for that, look for this, start new game or something, with the voice command. So, near field communication. So as I showed you in the demo shortly, we have NFC hardware. They're optional, so the hardware vendor does not have to add NFC hardware to the phone if he doesn't like to, but of course we invite him to do so. The normal use for NFC is tap and do something. So tap and launch an app, tap and acquire. For example, I launch an app, or I tap your phone, and your phone will automatically ask you if you want to launch the same app. Tap and use, connect two apps on two devices. So I start the game, you start the game, we touch, and then they know how to talk to each other, and we can start a multiplayer game. That is a very easy, easy way. Or tap and share, you have something in your app, you want to share it with somebody else, you say tap to share, you connect to the other phone. The other phone knows I should launch the app and then receive, for example, a picture or a voice recording or anything that the user has done inside the app or a note. And this works between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. They are the same APIs, but the normal tap and share that the phone has, of course, works across also Android devices. It would work on the iPhone if it had NFC, but it doesn't. And I'm sorry about that. But your app can really, I think the easiest picture is two games, multiplayer game. You basically just connect, touch the phones, and they will know the IP address or the Bluetooth. They use then Bluetooth to pair quickly on the fly, and then you play a multiplayer game until you disconnect again, and also the Bluetooth connection gets severed and disconnected for good again. As I said, this class, the Windows Networking Proximity Namespace, exists in both worlds, Windows 8, Windows Phone 8. So your apps across multiple tablet and phone can also talk together using even the same code. Now, on the other hand, there is the wallet that I demoed to you to contain secure payment information, to contain deals, credit cards, membership cards. And of course, what you want to do, the first thing you think is, I want to go to Starbucks, put my phone down on the cash register, and then my coffee is already paid. NFC. NFC and wallet, they in at least my brain, they were the same for a long time, but they're not. They're not. A phone that has the wallet does not have to have NFC. Then you have just the membership cards and you show it to somebody, or an app uses a bonus or one of those deal cards. But if you have a secure NFC module, there is the overlap. So in the NFC world, the standard is share a picture, share a URL, connect to another game. In the wallet world, there is, here is how I pay for my app in the store. Here is a deal that I showed to a cashier live. And then if you have the secure module, actually the secret is stored on the SIM card. The Nokia phones support it. I have had a chance to test it. I'm not sure if the other phones will support it too. Some might not. But then when you have this secure NFC module, you can implement the tap to pay. So you go into your wallet, you go to your Starbucks card, and you tap the cash register, and your coffee is paid for. So that is possible too. But there are two worlds, NFC and the wallet. The wallet is fully extensible too, of course. I put that demo to the end. It's a very long and it's quite weird, the coding. If you're really into payment using the wallet and APIs, have a look at the hands-on lab that is coming out. Check on dev.windowsphone.com. They have a step-by-step how to implement and how it looks. But I'm saving this if we have time in the end. Demo is not that hot. It's a lot of details, and then you just see the wallet app coming up. So rather look a bit in the execution model quickly. So in Windows Phone 7, code would always be compiled on your phone, which took a long time to load your app. So your app was always needed to be compiled when it was launched. With Windows Phone 8, we compile the app in the cloud. So you still upload the same XUP, not compiled for a certain architecture of processors, just generic XUP file. And it's pre-compiled in the cloud, and then the phone, if somebody buys your app, is optimized for your phone and downloaded to your phone in that optimized code. Also cool, if an old Windows Phone 7.5 app is now downloaded to a Windows 8 phone, it is also in the cloud, pre-compiled before it's downloaded, even if it was an untouched Windows Phone 7.5 app. So your old Windows Phone 7.5 app starts much faster on Windows Phone 8 than on Windows Phone 7.5. No more compilation on the phone. Even if the phone is slower or the same phone, it just doesn't mean that all the phones now have 26 processors built in. The apps have got a lot smarter. You don't have to care. You build for all type of phones. You upload to the store. Everything is done for you in the cloud. We had the app model. I can't talk too long about this because I tend to get stranded there and then talk for hours about processes that are killed and stuff. Just when you launched your own app over the icon on the home screen or in the app list, it would always start a new instance in Windows Phone 7. And it would only preserve your previous instance if the user used the task manager on the phone to go back to the previous, or the back button, to go back to your old application. So our own apps never did that. So if you were in the calendar, in the people hub, looking at somebody in detail, you got home and you would start the people, I hope that works now, people hub again, you should be, most apps then put you back in the same place where you just were. But a custom developed app would always start the new instance of your app. But for some apps, it is much cooler if there is an instance of the app in the back stack, that means here in the task manager, that it always restarts that running instance instead of starting a new version when the app icon is tapped. And now we allow that, exactly that scenario, by in the app manifest, just under the default task, say activation policy equals resume. It's the optional, the default is replace because of compatibility. But if you add this, your app, once it's in memory, it will always, if the user starts it over the icon again, it will go to that state it was when it last was last used, and it's not started in a fresh instant each time. It's a huge benefit, I think, personally, with one line of code. The other thing we now allow is voice over IP and video chat apps can now fully run in the background. They are like the normal phone apps built in. So when a call comes in, your app, here's Skype as an example, comes up. Your own app comes up and says, there is a call coming in. It was running in the background, listening for a call coming in. Then you can take the call, talk to the person, put the call in the background, look into the calendar or check something out in text messaging. While you're still talking to the person and the call is in the status bar on top, it said you're still in your Skype call or your custom, your own app call. You can take it back into the foreground, end the call. This, if you write a voice over IP app, you can use this fully to your advantage as well. We have opened that to anybody. Same with background location. Not just that we changed from Bing Maps to the Nokia Maps, to the Navtec Maps, which are awesome also in Europe. Great mapping data now. It used to be great in the US and not so good in Europe with Bing. But now, if you write an application that is turn-by-turn navigation, as long as you check, have the GPS location open, or you check for GPS information, your app can run in the background, can use, not use the screen, but use voice. Say, now turn right, now in 200 meters turn left. Even if the user taps the home button, goes into a different app, and then goes back to your app, it can fully run in the background. That's an exception. We don't allow that for any other apps, and only one GPS app can run at a time. So if a new GPS app is started and put in the background, the old gets terminated. And also, if your app stops listening for GPS data, for example, the person arrives at the destination, what do you expect? You expect that the GPS app tells you you are here, and then it stops looking for the satellite all the time, because that uses a lot of battery. So once you stop actively your app, if you add that to your app, that it stops actively listening for the satellite, it will get an event, says you're going to be terminated or suspended, and then your app is suspended and the phone is in normal operation, even if the user never got back to your app to explicitly stop the navigation, which nobody ever does, honestly. It's cool. I think very cool if you use GPS in any kind of app. It doesn't have to be a navigation program. You can think of anything that uses this. Some other platform enhancements. You can now take over the home screen image, the additional text fields that you have, and these five possible icons. The user can configure which app. He will see all the installed apps that support that. In the settings screen, or you can ask him while your app runs, do you want me to take over your home screen? And that image, using a background agent, you can update that regularly, like the home, like the lifetiles, And if you're a sports app, you can have the home screen image replaced with the latest sport results nicely put into an image, of course, regularly, every half an hour, every 20 minutes. Really, really cool. Right now, the empty phone has the Bing app as a wallpaper. But of course, I was thrilled by that possibility. So I went into my Flickr app and I basically said, Mustang.
Heard you say Mustang.
Yes, thanks. So I can take my favorite old car and say, I want you as a lock screen. Now I have to, as an app, I have to ask permission. Do you want this app to take over the home screen? Yes, and now when I turn off my phone and turn it back on, this picture now is my background. So my app now controls the home screen. And the same is for the toast notification. So basically the icon down here, it's the same you have on your... Oh, sorry, that turns power saver. It's the same that you have on your live tile. So once you have an infrastructure in place to update your live tile, you can use the home screen too. We have new tiles. You can code for all sizes now. And we had the tile up here, the flick tile, front and back. We now have this tile that we have it for messaging or for calls, missed calls. If you wanted to do that before, this needed to be one big image. This can now be a logo, and this is a dynamic number. And it nicely adapts to the various tile sizes with extra text here, new tile format, or here, a list of up to 9 images that you can download and store in your isolated storage, important. And then it flicks through these up to 9 images. So if you have a travel app and you show destinations here, people will absolutely have to book them because they're absolutely pretty on their home screens. So that's quite a cool extension to our tiles. The camera supports lenses, so your apps can run on top of the camera. They can also be started. When the user uses the camera, there's a new button, takes you to lenses. And lenses can be real-time effects on pictures or upload to pictures to a certain cloud storage. So you can create a panorama or a funny face app now that replaces people's faces with a smiley or something. And that app can be installed as a lens inside the user's camera app. So the more lenses there are, the more Instagram flickering-ish the camera of the phone gets. On the market, the phones are now over-the-air updatable, so no more have to connect to the PC to update. And we guarantee that for the next at least 18 months, this will be the operating system and hardware of choice. So, great. App purchase. You can now do in-app purchase as you do in Windows 8. So inside your app, you can offer to buy a test version of the app or to buy in-app either consumables or durables. Durables are levels. So you play Angry Birds, you love the first 10 levels, you buy the next 10, and once you bought them, they work on every phone. You as a developer have to check, did the user buy this? And do I have to unlock it on a new phone? It's up to you, but it's very easy. You can always ask the store, show me this user's licenses. Has he bought the level pack? Yes, it's available. And then there is consumables, and that's basically in gold, in-game money, gold. So Farmville. User buys it, then he uses it in-game, he spends it, and he has to rebuy it. Here, it's possible too, and you as an app present to the user how this looks. You say, this is our offerings. The user taps. He gets to the store, but already to the perfect page. He just has to tap confirm to show his wallet and pick his payment. And he's back into your app, and your app gets a message that says he just bought a 100 gold. Oh. And last thing, me too, I'll be running 2 minutes late. I'm really sorry. Phones are now enterprise ready, so you can choose as an enterprise not to distribute your application or software over the public store, but in your company internal intranet, specially designed by you, Windows Phone 8 store. Only for people will have to register their phone as part of the enterprise. They'll get a special certificate, either through device management or through just email or a link in the browser. And then you create your store, your hub, your company hub, that people can get your intranet. They never go out to the internet or the public store. We never look at them. We never vet them. You say, DiskSub has been developed. We trust it. We install it. No checking by Microsoft. So make sure your software really runs. And then you can, of course, add other stuff, SharePoint integration, alerts. That's just a sample of how our Microsoft internal store might look one day. But that is now a full featured option. If this interests you, I'm sorry, I'm very brief on this. The Build Conference had great sessions on this. channel9.msdn.com. Go to the Build tab. It's really big and visible. And you can watch their sessions, streams in real time, or recorded sessions, sorry, to in detail and see how this works in an enterprise. But I think it's really great to have the Phone 8 as a real enterprise device. So, resources. Couple of links. You will get them in the end. You get our presentations. And very, very, very important, 8 for 8. For the next, I think, 2 or 3 days only. It started a week ago almost. You can get the account on the Windows Phone Store to create and upload apps. Instead of 120-something francs, you get it for, I think it's about 9 francs here. So we give you a discount of 180 francs if you open your Windows Phone developer account on the store, but only for the next 2 or so days. So if you want to profit from that, do it quickly. And I think it's a really, really great idea. So that was my session. I'm sorry I'm running 2 minutes late. Thank you very much for being here. I hope I could get you motivated to write Windows Phone 8 apps. And I'll be around for questions, so I don't want to steal your break. Thanks a lot.